going to stop by the pigs.
To all my people in the struggle, you think God's forgotten about you. Here's some pain medicine. Let's go. You in your car. You at the house. On your job. Be encouraged, boo. Come on. A long way. That's why we love you. Come on.
I give all,
I can walk in the freedom, knowing you are strong enough to take my burdens. Oh God, I lift them up. I believe that you see my struggle. I believe that you know my pain. So when I die, when I'm lost, when I'm broken, and when I'm afraid, I give up. In your name, for you have promised to make a way. There's no fear, no doubt. In your name, for you have promised to make a way.
I give all, all, I give all
my care to you.
Good morning, Father God. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Good morning, Jesus believers around this whole universe. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Basically, that's all I can really say. Good morning this morning. You know why? It's a good day. And it's going to be an even better day. I guess I just want to say to God this morning, I want to tell God good morning. You know, God, out of my heart, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all things, no matter how they may appear or no matter how they may have come. If we allow God, they're going to be good for us believers. Remember, we call to be believers, and believers don't stop believing. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. Now, I know, you know, the enemy put a little pressure on us. And I mean, sometimes it can be like a lot. But today, I just want to say good morning. That's all. Good morning. That's basically good morning.
Hey. Hey, top of the morning to you, Tisa. You smoothie, me ice cold pizza. Cafe ole, latte, da. You do the Zumba, but I do not. Give me like half a marathon. I'll give you the gospel of St. John. It's been like a wake-up bomb. Cause we both know that it's mercy flows in the morning. No, I'm serious.
I'm serious, too. Remember, I told you I got hacked. But, you know, the beautiful thing, this is the first time that I have gotten hacked. If you notice, it didn't affect the broadcast. It didn't affect the podcast. Praise God. See, we have to get wiser. With this wisdom that God gives us, we have to use it. So if you got that crazy email talking about send a Google card or whatever, it was the hackers. But this time, for the very first time, they could not affect the broadcast. You know God is good and great and all of the above. So don't send nothing, nowhere, no time. That I said, I'm out of town. I was out of town yesterday, but we were just in, where were we? Fort Payne, Alabama. We had to go to Fort Payne, Alabama yesterday. But we back. I'm so grateful to God that the road be bumpy, but God anoints Brother Joe to get us wherever I need to be. And to get us back home safely. I don't have any doubt about that. I want to thank God, and I thank you, God. You blessing the people that are on the way here from California. They closer. So they should be rolling in here to Dalton early this morning sometime. I mean, tomorrow morning sometime, you know, early, like 2-3 in the morning, we give God all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. They tried to figure out how to get me an In-N-Out burger here, but just wouldn't work. But I did find out they got some In-N-Out in Texas now. I got to find out what part of Texas they in. Brothers and sisters, I have a plan. Now, it may not go through because, you know, God can interrupt anything I do anytime, any place, anywhere. But my plan is this. When I first came to Dalton and ministered at the convention center, the first message that I ministered, other than when he sent me here to praise the witchcraft of President Trump. But the first message that I ministered was the anointing for your ministry of the priesthood. And we did the anointing for the ministry of the priesthood. Those of you that are in ministry, called to be in ministry, God told me to do this tomorrow. So tomorrow you need to have your anointing all ready and some paper towels because I'm going to do the anointing for the priesthood of your ministry tomorrow. That's the plan for tomorrow. It could be interrupted. But if it's not interrupted, and I don't think it will be because God told me to do this, and this was the very first thing The very first thing I did at that convention center, other than break the witchcraft, that was first. That was the first thing I did when I came here. And didn't even know that this had been a Druid stronghold and had to move on the land that the Druids owned and fight that every day. Had to fight it every day. But Jesus won. So tomorrow the plan is to anoint you for your ministry of the priesthood, which is a spiritual anointing, but it's awesome and you got to have it. So today I want to share something with you. And I think that it's fitting for today. And I think that, God, thank you. You know, kind of keep up with me a little bit with the scriptures, Jessica. I want to start at Matthew 16:24. This is the pre to tomorrow. Matthew 16:24. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The second one is Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ. You see, there's a big difference between the world's gospel and the Lord's gospel. And I'm going to share, as I'm sharing this with you, God let me see this. And this became a kind of a precedent for my whole walk with God. And so I didn't have it. God had me rewrite it. I remember when I wrote it 30-something years ago. But he had me rewrite it as a precursor to what I have to do tomorrow. You see, the world says, take care of yourself. But the Lord says, let yourself go and take care of others. And the glory of your God will take care of you. The world says, look out for number one. Have a good time. Do what pleases you. But the Lord reminded me, in the end, the world is destroyed, and only what you have done for Christ will last. And you see, the man or the woman that lets go gets all. And the man who holds fast loses what he has, because God's words will come true. And God's word says, whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Brothers and sisters, I don't know if you know this or not, but this scripture right here is based on one of God's laws. So Jessica, put this in the chat room. One of God's laws is the law of sacrifice. Can you put that in there, the law of sacrifice? And the law of sacrifice is the greatest one of God's laws in earth and in heaven. The law of sacrifice is written in earth, and it is written in every area of nature. You know, every day we walk around, you know, graveyards. And millions of generations have lived and they have died. And you got in those cemeteries, you got the buried lives of many, 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 many generations. Because in this law of sacrifice of God, all nature dies and lives again. And each new development is a higher and a bigger life built on the promises of God. The Bible says, a corn of wheat must fall into the earth and die, or else it'll be just a shriveled up seed. But as it dies, it begins to live and to multiply. And this is how it is in the deeper life of the higher realm in Christ Jesus. As you rise from the natural life to the spiritual life, which is in Christ Jesus. As a part of that law is this. Everything that is selfish is limited by its selfishness. You see, brothers and sisters, if you turn your natural eyes and if you turn your spiritual eyes upon yourself only, you cannot see anything. As if you look out that vision of the world upon you. Get this. The very law of the supernatural life of God is love for others. It's caring for others by giving away and letting go. I want you to understand this morning, it is death and self-destruction to be selfish. The law of sacrifice is the law of God. You see, God lived in supreme self-sufficiency. At one time as the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And then God gave himself. God's glory was in giving himself. And so God gave himself in the creation. And the beauty of the universe, that every possible sort of happiness could come according to its natural law. Hallelujah. Genesis 1 and 2. And then God gave himself in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave. God gave his best. God gave his all. God gave his only begotten son. What am I talking to you about this morning? The law of God is sacrifice. God loved until he gave all. Then it is through the law of Christ Jesus himself that God came through. God sacrificed through Jesus, and Jesus came to sacrifice, laying down all his honors, leaving the society of heaven for a generation, and Jesus lived with creatures further beneath them than a crawling worm is beneath a man. Jesus made himself one of us. And Jesus became a brother of this fallen race. Jesus was always yielding and letting go. Jesus was always holding back his power and not using it. Jesus was always being made subject to the will of men beneath them, until at last they nailed Jesus to the cross. Jesus' whole life was a continual refusing of himself, carrying the burden and sharing the sorrows of us. Brothers and sisters, I don't know if anybody ever taught you this before, but when the Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You hear me? Love and sacrifice is the law of Jesus Christ. The law of God through Jesus is the bearing of others' burdens, the sharing of others' grief. Not being crazy or anything, you know what I mean? But sacrificing yourself for the love of a brother or a sister. Brothers and sisters, that is the law of Christianity. That is the law of God. It's the only way, believe it or not, to go from a sinner to a saint. And it has always been that way from the beginning. Let me show you here. It was on Mount Moriah where Abraham was going to give up the child of promise. It reached the climax on Mount Calvary. All along the way, marked by blood and sacrifice. You see, not only did Abraham give up his Isaac, but Isaac gave up his life, and all through his life, he laid down himself for others. The Bible says Jacob served for his wife and then did not get the one of his choice. His was a suffering life, a passive life, a patient life. Joseph died to his circumstances. He had to die to his circumstances because God was going to raise him up so high. He had to go down as low, down not only into banishment, but into shameful imprisonment and almost to death. When Joseph was out of sight, and all God's promises concerning him seemed lost, and his prospects seemed hopeless. Hallelujah. Then God picked him up and set him on one of the world's thrones. Moses had to be a fugitive. Moses had to try to deliver in his own strength, in his own way, through murder, which is not God's way. And then Moses had to fail. And for 40 years, God had to teach Moses, and he had to train Moses. And then God gave Moses his desire. At the very last moment, Moses had to let go the prospect of entering into the promised land. And Moses died outside the gates of Canaan, sacrificed his most cherished hope, and he had to wait till all those years should roll and Jesus himself should bring Moses to stand with him on the Mount of Transfiguration and say, now, Moses, you have the thing you had to let go of. The thing you thought you lost and died to, and now you have a better resurrection. Hallelujah. And all through the Bible, brothers and sisters, all through the Bible, praise God, Jonah, the man the Bible says God honored to deliver his own people and lead his kingdom into victory and mighty power. Jonah, the man God honored to be the first foreign missionary. The man God said, go and preach to Nineveh. Go and bring the world to know and honor me. He was so greatly blessed that in that city, the mightiest revival that the world had ever seen happened. And yet, Jonah got angry because God did not kill all the people in Nineveh. And why do you think Jonah got? Because it compromised his own reputation. You see, Jonah had said that the people would die in 40 days. However, before the 40 days were up, the people repented of their sins, and God repented of what he said, and he forgave them. I can only imagine, Jonah was thinking in his own mind, where am I in this transaction? I will never be believed again. Why didn't you destroy Nineveh and save my reputation? And because Jonah could not let his own glory go, God had to dishonor him. God had to leave him under a withered gourd to show all generations how contemptible it is to seek your own glory. Brothers and sisters, can you imagine the prophet of God sent to do what God told him to do, and he did it. And all those lives were spared and saved, but he gonna sit under a tree wanting to die himself just because he felt like God had dishonored him as a prophet in fulfilling his mission in the repentance of the whole nation. And you know what? God just let him stand there as a spectacle of the shame and dishonor of selfishness. And remember, I was talking about Peter yesterday. I guess that's why God gave me this today. The last message to Peter when he restored him was, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he signifying by what death that he should glorify God. Jesus sent him to a life of crucifixion, to be yielded, submissive, and surrendered, and led about by others against his natural choice. Till at last he would be crucified head downward upon his master's cross. I'm trying to share something with you this morning. The world says, look out for yourself. But Jesus says, not I, but himself. You see, this is the part that most people can't handle. Jesus says, not I, but Christ. Please get this. Not only your old self, but your new man. With all your new strength and with all your new self-confidence, it has to die too. Are you hearing me this morning? You see, not only Ishmael must go out and be an outcast, but Isaac must be yielded up and not hold up his head again. You see, we come a long way with Jesus, but we want to stop at Gethsemane and we want to stop at Calvary. People love the feeding of the thousands as Jesus was ministering. But when Jesus stood up and talked about Calvary, when Jesus stood up and spoke about the cross that each one of us must bear, you know what they said? They said, this is a hard saying. Who can bear it? And they all went back. They were not willing. They were not willing to go to the cross. You see, a lot of people say yes to Christ, but they're unable to say no to themselves and yes to God. I've kind of surmised this myself a little bit, but you know the scripture talks about baptisms. Well, that first baptism is a baptism of repentance, where we turn from sin to God. That next baptism is where we baptize into, and the Holy Ghost comes upon us and lives in us. But then, brothers and sisters, there's that baptism into death after the Holy Ghost comes on you. After you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, after God comes to live in you, making your body his temple, it is then that you have to go with Christ into his own dying. And that's when he says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's when your answer has to be like Jesus. Not my will, but thy will be done in my life. You see, Jesus said, talking about himself, he said, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straightened till it be accomplished? What he was saying was, I have a burial to be buried with. He was going into the deeper walk or the deeper life, dying. Paul said it. Dying every day. And his heart was in agreement with it. You see, Jesus began to die the moment he took his first breath on earth. So that you and I would be able to say with an assurance, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done in my life. You see, there's steps by steps you have to take in Christ Jesus. God treats us as though it was accomplished. But I'm going to tell you something. There are steps that must be written on the records of your heart that must be recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life related to you dying to your own self-will. I understand that there's going to be a tug of war. I understand because it is according to the will, the plan, the purpose, the method of God making you a God-made man or a God-made woman. There'll be a time where the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, breaks down your spirit, your soul, and your body into components. And guess what? It will be a battlefield. It will be a battle with Satan. It will be a battle with the devil. It will be a battle with demons. It will be a battle with evil human spirits. And you will experience the fiery darts of the enemy. The devil will his will in an attempt to show you how unreasonable you are and how right it is that you should have your own will. It will be moments of life or death for some people, years. Remember, Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days, and the devil tried continuously to have Jesus, the Son of God, have his own will. But Jesus stood the test. Jesus, praise God, said, I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. There is a law of sacrifice and letting go. You see, when Jesus said, I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me, Jesus knew. Remember, he was God, the Word made flesh. Jesus knew, and I'm going to share with you what Jesus knew and what you got to know. Jesus knew that God could make him a leader because he had been led. No man or no woman can govern in the kingdom of God until he has been governed by God himself. And I close with this morning. Jesus said, Father, thou be willing. Remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Govern yourself accordingly.
In the shadows, in the valley of despair, in the middle of a battle, where I've never been more scared. But I believe that you see my struggle, I believe that you know my pain. When I'm tired, when I'm lost, when I'm broken, when I'm afraid, I give up. Walk in the freedom, knowing you are strong enough to take my burdens. Oh God, I lift them up. I believe that you see my struggle. I believe that you know my pain. When I die, when I'm lost, when I'm broken, and when I'm afraid, I give up. In your name, for you have promised to make a way. There's no fear, no doubt. In your name, for you have promised to make a way.
I give all, I give all
my care to you.
I give all.
And I wonder if you're there.
Lord, have mercy.
When I cannot find a way.
Lord, have mercy.
And my heart begins to stray.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Your heart, your mind, your will, your emotions, your intellect. As long as you, and when you become free enough to surrender all to God, will you be free enough to give all of you to somebody else? I'll see you tomorrow.